In a few minutes, do black people get treated differently when they offer places on Airbnb? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. If you want to know about the U.S. economy today, the stock market may not be the place to look. Try the thermometer. It'll get to 50 degrees in Seattle today. And are you kidding me? 68 in Los Angeles. This is not the situation in a lot of other places, to the point that the American economy in January could get some frostbite. Economists often argue that the cold typically defers activity rather than destroys it, but not always. On Thursdays, we check in with Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Diane, what's your thermometer say over there this morning?
-2 degrees. It's not very fun in Chicago today.
No. I had +5. My gang woke up to -15 in St. Paul, Minneapolis this morning. Now, the cold cuts into economic activity. It did in December, but this has got to be worse.
Yes, it is. What we're seeing is the prolonged effect of the weather. We're all sick of it, but it also means you're not going out to the restaurants, you're not going out to the mall. It really slows down our ability to go to work in general. We had 1.7 million people, the most since Hurricane Katrina, in December that had to take part-time instead of full-time because of the weather, and it's continually worse in January. If it had just been a cold beginning of the month, we could have recouped it, but now it's starting to show up in everything from cab drivers not getting cab fares to drivers and restaurants and malls.
So when we get the economic data in the fullness of time about the month that we're living through, it's going to look grim. And even if you come on the radio and say, well, it's just the weather, it could have a psychological effect on business decisions moving forward.
Well, there's no question that the weakness in January, although most businesses I've talked to said, you know, we've had to shut down some factories because of the weather. People couldn't show up at work. It's caused some delays in our activity. They think it's just the weather, but until they get confirmation that it's not, they have to operate on the information they have. And right now, that's not terrific.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
A powerful investor is grabbing his megaphone to call for an iconic tech firm to split up. Activist investor Carl Icahn wants eBay to spin off PayPal, separating the online auction site from the digital payment service, Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
eBay's CEO wants to hang on to PayPal. He says keeping it provides that enduring corporate buzzword, synergy.
It's a seamless integration for the users of eBay. So that's always been a big advantage to have such a dominant payment system be part of your company.
That's University of North Carolina business professor Arvind Malhotra, who can also lay out the opposite argument about PayPal.
Since it's part of eBay, it's not seen as a neutral platform, but if it existed as a separate entity, its adoption rate could be even higher.
Carl Icahn believes setting PayPal free will boost the stock. He's also calling for change at Apple. Northeastern University finance professor Don Margada expects to see more folks like Icahn targeting tech firms.
They're not young anymore, and now people are looking at them no longer as constant growth engines, but as maturing companies.
Aging, yes, but they're still making enough money to be fresh meat for activist investors. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
We've been following the rise of the peer economy or the sharing economy, where we share childcare, our cars, even designer handbags. But before we tumble too deeply into utopia, there's new evidence that serious problems from the regular world persist amid all this sharing, problems that may include racism. Marketplace's Noel King has the story of Airbnb, a company that connects people looking to rent out living space with people looking for a place to stay.
Renting from a stranger can be scary, but on Airbnb, there are lots of pictures of the rental, and all users have a profile. Airbnb asks that your profile photo clearly show your face.
It's so big, it's just staring you right in the face. We thought that might have an undue influence on some guests.
Ben Edelman is a professor at Harvard Business School. He wondered if that photo might open the door to discrimination.
The possibility that certain disfavored minorities, for example, African Americans, might find it hard to rent their properties on Airbnb. If you're a black person, you might find that you can't get as good a price as a similar property rented by a another user.
Edelman and a colleague compared Airbnb listings in New York City. Apartments of the same size, same neighborhood, similar reviews. They found that African-American hosts were asking for about $16 less per listing.
So if you're an African-American host, you can expect, unfortunately, to get a lower price for every night you offer your property.
Airbnb said in a statement that their terms of service prohibit content that discriminates. Edelman isn't saying that Airbnb is discriminating, but his research shows Black users expect to earn less. Tony Greenwald, a psychology professor at the University of Washington, says African American hosts may be lowering their asking price, believing their racial identity is a liability.
It occurs in housing, in employment, in profiling.
I asked Toni Blackman, who rents out her apartment in Brooklyn on Airbnb, whether she thinks she's likely to earn less than a counterpart who is not Black.
I do. And I'm also a dark-skinned African-American who's an artist. And so I'm combating those two stereotypes.
Does it work both ways? When she's picking a renter, does she choose based on the photos?
But you know what? That is a very real question. Some friends of mine were joking about it. We all do Airbnb, and I have a couple Black American girlfriends, a white girlfriend, a Jewish girlfriend. We were all sitting there laughing because we do.
I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
And do ideas spread then recede, like infectious diseases? Researchers have used a model based on epidemics to predict that within 3 years, 2017, Facebook will lose 80% of its users. The pair of PhD engineering students from Princeton counted Google searches of the word Facebook, which hit a peak back in 2012. Of course, people may be learning just to type the word Facebook into the browser instead of Googling it. Facebook, which has billions of dollars riding on this, calls the research nonsense. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.